back to The Word in 10, a podcast at Doyle Community Church. This is the final part of a four-part series on setting our mind on the things above, namely about envisioning the next life in heaven. Let's consider some of what it may be like to spend time in heaven in Revelation 21, starting in verse 10, where it says, John says, "The angel carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high and showed me the holy city Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal." So in the center of the new heavens and new earth, God's eternal kingdom, there will be a city called the New Jerusalem. It's this brilliant, shining city. And John describes it further in verse 12, where he says, "It had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the 12 tribes of Israel." And then in verse 14, it says the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. When you think about the New Jerusalem, and really Revelation as a whole, there are elements that are probably both literal and symbolic, just like how a wedding ring is a literal object yet carries significant symbolic significance. Revelation as a book is rife with symbolism, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't teach literal physical concepts. And that's true when it comes to these walls and these gates that are referred to here in Revelation 21. I imagine that these gates and these foundations literally have the names of the 12 apostles and the 12 tribes of Israel, but they are also teaching the concept that people from both the Old and the New Covenants will be in heaven. And to me, this is one of the most exciting parts about heaven. I mean, can you imagine hanging out with Moses and asking him to retell the story of the parting of the Red Sea? Or to ask Elijah what it was like to call down fire from heaven and defeat the prophets of Baal? You know, my favorite Bible story personally is the story of Joseph, and I cannot wait to sit down with him and talk with him about how he managed to trust God through his suffering. What about seeing Uriah hug David in forgiveness? Or to have Jesus retell the story of the young disciple who ran naked through the Garden of Gethsemane? I mean, I can just imagine Jesus retelling the story, thinking, "I'm getting there, ready to die for the sins of the world, and you run off naked?" Right? I mean, that's going to be a great time. We love, as humans, we love a good story. What's it going to be like to talk through the greatest stories ever told with the heroes of faith who lived them out? What about the countless believers we've never even heard of who have done incredible acts for Jesus, to get to meet them, to talk with them, to learn their life story, the different things that God showed them? This is going to be an incredible experience. Many of us have been impacted by authors who we've never gotten to meet. Like J. Oswald Sanders, for me, is a man who's changed my life that I've never met face to face. I can't wait to talk with him about how God worked in his life and inspired him to write the classics. What about guys like C.S. Lewis, Andrew Murray, Corey Ten Boom, so many more? What about Jesus himself? Talking with him about the many, many things that he has seen. Talking with him about what it was like to create the universe and to witness that. I mean, the possibilities of how we're going to relate in heaven, they're endless. There's not much better than sitting around a fire with your friends, retelling old stories, laughing, hanging out, and enjoying community. And in heaven, we're going to get to do that forever in perfect relationships. And this doesn't even speak to our loved ones from whom we have been lost. Many of us, we've lost friends, we've lost family, and we miss them dearly. They've gone. They're with God. I know that up in heaven, I've got some people waiting for me that I'm really eager to reconnect with. Can you envision what it's going to be like the first time you get to reunite with that friend, that parent, your child, your spouse, to see them, to hug them, to touch them again, to talk with them about everything that's happened in your time apart, to know that we're going to have those people forever in perfect community is an indescribable joy. Moving on in Revelation 21, starting in verse 22, John says, "I did not see a temple in the city because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it." In verse 26, it says, "The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it." We have to know about heaven that the passage doesn't say that we won't have a sun or moon. It says that we won't need a sun or moon. God's glory is going to outshine the sun, even if it is there, kind of like Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17. It's interesting that the nations are present in heaven, as it says in verses 24 and 26. This shows us that heaven is going to be a place of culture, which you already see earlier in the book in sections like chapter 7, verse 9. We're going to have people from every nation, every tribe, every tongue in heaven. Heaven's going to be the perfect blending of culture. And I, for one, can't wait to experience other people's cultures, to learn different languages, to cook new foods. I think it's remarkable, as verse 26 says, that the glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it, that we will bring splendor into heaven, as it says in verse 24. One thing I think this implies about heaven is that there will still be learning and experiential growth and the exercise of creativity in heaven. But to think, how could we add to it? How could we add to heaven if we enter it with perfect knowledge, with perfect ability? It really doesn't add up. Surely our new bodies, they'll come with an enhanced intellect, probably more a better memory, maybe even more athletic prowess, hopefully. But we're still going to learn and grow. We're still going to exercise creativity. And the way I like to think about it is kind of like this. Every time I pick up my son from preschool, he gives me things that he's made for me. And I love that he does this, but think about it like this. When he gives me these kind of, you know, poorly colored drawings, what do you think they add to my material life as a person? Materially, they add nothing. I mean, they have no value or worth whatsoever. But for my son to exercise his creativity, to be learning, and to offer me what he's made as a gift to me that he's done in community with the friends that he's making, that he's thinking of me, that brings great honor and joy to me. I love it. I cherish it. I hang these drawings up on my refrigerator because of how much they mean to me. And I believe that it's going to be like that between us and God. The idea that we could bring splendor and glory and honor to a perfect God in a perfect world. Yeah, we can't add anything materially to God. He's perfect. He doesn't need us. He's independent of us. But as we exercise our creativity, as we work for him, as we learn, as we grow, and as we offer these things up to the glory of God, it's going to bring great honor to him, just like a child giving a drawing to his father. We're going to keep working for God. We're going to keep honoring him. We're going to keep exercising our creativity in heaven, and God's going to enjoy that and honor, and that's going to bring honor to him. So I wonder what that's going to look like for you in heaven. What hobbies will you pursue? What work will you do for God? What about learning new things that you never got to learn here? I don't think we're going to enter with perfect knowledge, but rather we're going to get to experience new things, to spend our time that way, and God's going to enjoy seeing his children enjoy that aspect of life forever. So when you think about applying this passage, get excited about what's coming next. You're going to enjoy so much about heaven, especially in your relationships with the people you know, the people you're currently estranged from, and people that you've never even met. You're going to get to spend time honoring God with your work, with your creativity, and it's going to bring great joy to both you and him. And when I think about this, I can't help but think that I need to share God's forgiveness with others, because what a great joy we're going to get to experience. I can't hold that to myself. May many, many people begin a relationship with Jesus and experience the great joy that is coming to all of us in heaven. That's all we have for this session in this series. For more resources, please visit our website at www.dwellcc.org.